Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another, so we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
Well, my name is Ed Holt, and many of you know me for many years, but to some of you, I am a new face up on the screen. We worked in South America, in Santiago, Chile, for 10 years as missionaries, and then came back to Springfield, where we served as the lead ministers here at Northside for 25 years. We began when the church was quite small and grew through to the transition here to our new property. I think that through our years of ministry, we have always felt extremely blessed because we have done exactly what we felt like the Lord wanted us to do. When I was about 50 years old, I began to realize that I would not be able to keep up the pace indefinitely. I also was aware that our lead minister, Wayne Bushnell, was ready to begin thinking about lead ministry, and so we determined that at 60 years old, we would step out of the lead ministry. Now, some of you may think, wow, that's an early time to retire. Well, we didn't really retire. I'm self-employed. I still work what Sarah calls half days. That's 12 hours a day. And our ministry goes apart from that. So we minister in two areas that we thoroughly enjoy me most. One of the ministries I've always loved, even when I was lead minister at Northside, was the greeting ministry. I love seeing people come in, the smiles on their face. Now I watch to see if some of them limp as much as I do, you know, when they come in. There at the door, it's a warm greeting, a hug on occasion. We've not gotten to the holy kiss yet, but I love giving people a smile and starting their day off well. And we've always been involved in that ministry, and it's a great ministry. Another one of the ministries where I have felt very fulfilled is in the ministry of teaching. Even while as the lead minister, for all but about 3 years, I also taught a Sunday school class, and we continue to do that today. So that keeps my mind sharp. It keeps me studying the Bible. It gives me good interaction with people, and it's a challenging time both for me and for the classes that I teach. And we made a commitment, and our commitment, as near as I can understand, when a person is a slave, there is no retirement age. And when I look at the Old Testament example of Deuteronomy 15, I see that slave saying, yes, I want to serve you the rest of my life. I renounce my right to my freedom. And that's the choice that Sarah and I have both made with our relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that our ministry will change throughout the years. I know that as my memory slips, I won't be able to teach, Sarah and I won't be able to carry on the same ministry as we have now. There are changes in our life, but all that does is challenges us to be creative in seeing what new way we can serve the Lord.
Well, hey, I know a lot of you know Ed and Sarah out of this service. Let's just give appreciation to them and grateful for their ministry and their work. I love that video, and I know Sarah wasn't in the video. Mary, Sarah, whatever her name is, wasn't in the video. But really appreciate them because they do, they are such great examples of what it means to serve and to do ministry. And you don't retire from ministry. You don't retire from service. And that's just something we don't do. And I think it's so important to be reminded of that, that they serve because they are servants. It's who they are at their core. Even when the paycheck stopped coming for ministry, their service didn't stop. And I love how Ed said, you know, whenever we stop teaching someday, if that day ever comes, then we'll find other ways to creatively serve the Lord. It reminds me of Romans 12, verse 11, that says, never be lacking. Never be lacking. That never be lacking. That phrase right there means that you never shrink back. You never hesitate. You never stop. You never be lacking in zeal. Zeal means diligence. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Spiritual fervor means boiling over with passion, with enthusiasm, boiling over with your diligence, boiling over in your service. Continue to let your service just boil over, spill out of your life. Whatever you do, don't get lazy, don't be apathetic, and whatever you do, don't retire. Please don't retire. Serve the Lord passionately with everything that you have. This is how the Bible approaches ministry. I love that. As it comes out of Scripture. Have you ever talked to a person who is retired other than Ed, and they said to you, man, I am so busy? Hasn't that happened to you before? I'm so busy. It's because it's supposed to work that way. That's how it's supposed to work. That's a healthy retirement. They're like, man, we're so busy and I'm retired. Imagine that. That's how it's supposed to work in the church as well. That even as we get older, our ministries may change, but we never retire from serving the Lord. I think the biggest challenge for all of us, whether you have served the Lord for many, many years, or you are just getting started in your service of the Lord, I really believe that the biggest challenge for all of us is that enthusiasm can tend to fade away. That when we are giving of ourselves, when we are serving, enthusiasm for service, that can tend to fade away. That's the biggest challenge. Sometimes it's because people get fatigued. In ministry, maybe they start to feel a little burnt out because they're not strengthening the inner soul and refueling. For others, maybe it's because they kind of get in a rut, and over time they kind of lose their passion. For others, it may be because they feel like they're not really making a difference, and they don't see the results, at least not immediately, and so they get a little tired. For others, maybe it's because they meet some resistance, or they even experience some criticism. They're serving, and they're being criticized while they serve. I was talking to a gal who's in administration in a hospital. It's not one of the two here in Springfield, but I was visiting with her about that, and she said, man, we're struggling to find good nurses and then to keep them. And I said, why is that? Is it because of workload? Is it because of responsibilities and stress? You know, what are some of those things? And while all of those probably tie into it a little bit, one of the things that she was observing, she says, you know, she's more on this administration side where she used to be on the nursing side. And she goes, when I was a nurse, it was occasionally when I would experience some, you know, a patient who was unappreciative or critical or somewhat rude or abusive. She goes, but I think for a lot of our nurses now, that seems to be a pretty common occurrence. And the culture and the environment and work, and some could be outright abusive and rude in their treatment of nurses. It's like, you know, no thanks. You know, sometimes when you're serving and you're trying to help someone else and you're being criticized for it, it can be really difficult to want to continue to do that. Maybe some of you have experienced ministry failure. And as a result, you've just gotten out of serving altogether. Maybe you've experienced compassion fatigue. Maybe for you, your primary motive for service has simply become an obligation, or doing it out of duty, or because you made a commitment, or because you're somehow trying to earn favor with God. Maybe you serve with an ulterior motive. As we're going to see here in a minute, Peter talks about those. They were serving because of financial gain. They had something to gain from their service. It was for personal gain. Or they wanted prestige. Or they wanted power. Or they wanted control. And so they decided to serve so they could have that. Maybe you're already tired of this series, Our Church Serves. Maybe you're just sick and tired of this series already. And you'd like for us to move on. Well, if that's the case, let's open our Bibles today, or a device, to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Peter is writing this specific passage to the leaders. Chapter 5 is written to the leaders of the church. And he was specifically writing to the churches that were scattered, the believers that were scattered across modern-day Turkey. And as he writes to those leaders, he's instructing them how they are to serve as leaders, what kind of attitude they are to have in their service. He specifically is going to address elders. Now, before you think to yourself, you know what? He's talking to the elders. We get a free pass. This doesn't apply to us. It only applies to those few guys that were standing up here on the stage, the elders. It applies to them. I get a free pass on this one. Before you think that, what Peter goes on to say is you are to set examples for the flock to follow. In other words, they're just setting the pace. They're just setting the culture. They're setting the environment. They're setting the example that we're all supposed to follow. So it's not just applying to them, though Peter's talking to them. You set an example that everybody else is supposed to follow. This is the attitude towards service that God wants to see in his church. And so we're going to read about that together. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, here's how it begins. Peter says, To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. And I want to pause for just a moment because Peter there doesn't say, I want to appeal to you as an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, one who saw his crucifixion, experienced him in his resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized after my sermon. I, Peter, the great apostle, declare with authority to you. He doesn't say that. He just says, I appeal to you as a fellow elder. In other words, we get a picture of what leadership looked like in the early church. Early on in the church, the apostles, the apostolic authority was clearly seen. They were correcting the church from false doctrine and leading in that way. But as the church grew and blossomed and multiple congregations were founded, Peter became a fellow elder. In other words, plurality of leadership within the church. He was a fellow elder that was leading in the church. And that's the picture of leadership we see in the church, is the elders had plurality of leadership. So he says, I appeal to you as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. The NIV 1984 version that I'm familiar with says, serving as overseers. And he goes on. He says, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. Now, in order to maintain your enthusiasm for serving the Lord, you have to have the right attitudes toward serving. And I want to give you three of these attitudes that Peter mentions right here in the text. And the first one is found right in verse 2, and it is this: serve willingly, not because you must. Serve willingly, not because you must. Oftentimes, I think we can spot a mile away those who are serving willingly versus those who are serving because they must. And the difference is seen in their attitude. You know, I grew up in a family in which serving in the church was just ingrained in me. My mom and dad were just actively engaged in serving the church. When a very short time after I was born, Dad did some part-time ministry on the weekends, but he was a machinist in his shop, and later he worked for Ozark Christian College, and he drove a truck for Harker's Meat Company and all those things. All during those years, he was actively involved in teaching Sunday school, shepherding people, having Bible studies with those who were just coming to know the Lord. Two of his managers at that time, I think it was called Westco Furniture Company. He worked there for a while. Came to know the Lord as he had Bible studies with them and just served in that way. He was just a servant at his core. My mom was working in the nursery. She was working in women's ministry. And so I grew up in a family that served. And so I just kind of, I followed that and did that. I did that in student ministry. And I helped write dramas for VBS. And I just got involved in all kinds of ministries and plays and singing, just all kinds of things in the church. And I just loved serving actively in those ways. When I went to college, to Missouri Southern State University now, went to college there to get an accounting degree. I was playing basketball there. I remember I was sitting down talking with Ken Eidelman, who was the president at Ozark Christian College at the time. He knew my heart for ministry and knew that I had some dreams and desires to go into ministry. And he said to me, you know, as you pursue this degree, as you pursue these things, my one fear is that you'll lose your heart for ministry. That, you know, you'll invest in these things, and then that will become the focus of your life, knowing that you want to go into ministry. And I knew that he was right about that. You know, where you invest, where your treasures, where your heart follows. And I knew there was truth in that. And so I began interning my freshman year of college in a church, First Christian Church, Galena, Kansas. I began leading the worship. It looked like this back in those days, you know. Wilma Martha over there on the keyboard and piano. Here we go. So we led worship. Believe me, it was sorry. And those people had so much grace. And so led worship, helped do communion meditation, started leading the youth group, and just started serving ministry 3 years at that church. Great people there. Got to preach occasionally. Grew in ministry. And then my last year of college, my home church, College Heights Christian Church, had a almost full-time internship open up. And I applied for that and took that. And so I did that for a year, serving in that church, just eating it up, loving it. Upon graduation, that's when we came to Northside in 1994 and started doing ministry here at Northside. Ministry and serving has just been ingrained in me from such an early age, and I love it, and I eat it up. I love leadership in the church, and I honestly cannot even imagine, I can't even fathom what it would be like to go into God's community, to go into the church, and worship and listen to preaching from the Word, as important as that is, and then walk out and leave. I just can't imagine that. To me, it sounds like the worst way to do church. I wouldn't be interested in it. I wouldn't care for it. I wouldn't like it. I'd be disengaged. I wouldn't be growing. I guarantee it. I just know me. And no, I have to serve or get engaged or be involved. Yes, because it's been ingrained in me, but because that's what Christians do. And so for me, serving in the church is a part of who I am. That means that though right now, yes, I do it vocationally, I am paid. A lot of you didn't know this. You pay me to do this. It's hilarious. But anyway, you pay me to do this. And so I have the best life in the world. But even if you didn't, if our elders are in the room, could close your ears real quick. If you didn't pay me, I'd be serving in the church. I'd be serving the Lord because I love serving Him. And Peter just says here, serve, not because you must, but because you're willing. Not because you have to, not because it's a duty or an obligation, but because serving is something you get to do. It's a blessing. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It is a joy to serve the Lord. Now, I'd like for every girl, every woman in this room to imagine for a moment that you were single. Some of you girls are like, I don't have to imagine that. And okay, I understand. Just imagine we all were. Imagine you were single, okay? And this young man comes up to you and he says, hey, how would you like to hang out? Which basically means he's asking you out on a date, but he doesn't have the guts to say that. How'd you like to hang out for a little while? And so you say, sure. He's a nice guy. You kind of like him. So Friday night rolls around, and you put on this cute, really nice outfit, and you really get ready and dolled up, and you're ready to go on this date with this young man. And he shows up, and there's a knock at the door, and you open the door. And there he is in his basketball shorts, cut-off shirt. And he's like, hey, listen, I know we've got this date tonight, but I just want to be up front. In about 45 minutes, I got a bunch of guys coming to the house. We're playing video games. And so if we can just do something kind of quick, really, your friend kind of put me up to this, and I said, yes, I would do this. And so if we can just do something kind of inexpensive, you know, I don't want to invest a whole lot here, that'd really be helpful. Girls tell me, is date already over? Is the date already over? Absolutely. This date is over. And it is not going any further. And you'd be like, thanks, but no thanks. And the door is shutting. Because none of us want somebody to invest or serve or give or do anything for us out of obligation. Because they have to. Because they must. And Peter says, all right, church. The Savior who died for you, the Savior who bought you with His own blood, bride of Christ, would you serve because you're willing? Would you serve because you're willing? Because He's not interested in us serving strictly out of obligation or out of duty. God, the Creator of the universe, who holds the stars in the palm of his hand, is inviting us to come alongside him to rescue people for all of eternity. Now, he doesn't need us. He's inviting us to make an eternal difference in the lives of people. Are you going to serve a God like that because you must, because you have to, or because you are honored to serve one who would love you like that, to give to one who would love you like that? What we have discovered is that service is a key component of discipleship. Service is critical for becoming like Jesus. It is a part of what being a disciple is. Jesus was a servant, and we were commanded as his followers to follow his example, to serve like he served. This is what discipleship is. And this is one of the reasons why recently there was a change made, even in our programming with our young people, for junior and senior high youth. And one of the reasons for that is because of the significant number of teens that were not engaged or serving in ministry on an ongoing basis. And the primary reason for that was the primary opportunity to do that on Sunday mornings, to serve specifically within the church body. There was programming for them that they were obligated or engaged in being at, that oftentimes they didn't feel like they had the freedom to serve and get engaged in other ministries. And much of what was happening in one of our programs was already happening in life groups. It happens on Sunday nights, which is oftentimes has even a better attendance than what they have on Sunday mornings. It's very well attended. And so we took that hour to say, you know what? What we need to do is make sure that our young people, it's getting ingrained in them what was ingrained into us when we were young people, when we were kids, is that we were to serve the church. We were to serve the body. It is a key component of discipleship. And if that is missing, then they will fail to look like and become like Jesus. They need to have the freedom to serve, be encouraged to serve, challenged to serve in all the various ways that they can serve so they can grow to become more like Jesus. That's why we've given them the opportunity to do that. That's why Crave was moved to 9 and 10:15, so no matter what service they went to, they could serve in any of our three services here at Northside. We want that to be ingrained. Service is a core value for us, to contribute in ministry. That is a core value for our church. And so we serve, not because we must, but because we're willing. We're willing to serve. Number two is this. There's another reason why we should, an attitude for service. We should serve eagerly, not for personal gain. Serve eagerly, not for personal gain. Verse 2 says, not pursuing dishonest gain, but you're eager to serve. Eager means having a ready mind, an eager mind. You're already thinking about it. It's already on your mind. To serve. There's an eagerness to serve. And I love seeing people in the church who just kind of walk around with this eagerness to serve. They're looking for ways to serve. It happened just recently when Dick and Robin Clay started coming to Northside just a few months ago. And they've just shown an eagerness to serve and get involved in the body life of the church. I know Dick taught for Ed here just a maybe that was last Sunday or a week, 2 weeks ago, taught for Ed in his Sunday school class. Dick has decided, he and Robin, to start a prayer group on Sunday mornings at 8:15 to pray specifically for our church and pray for God's Spirit to move and to pray for this sermon and the one who delivers it and to pray for the worship team and the worship that happens here and to pray for the people and to pray for our nursery workers and our children's workers and our youth workers and those who are serving in ministry. It already happened this morning, 8:15. There's a room right down here, a college age room, which they sat in there and prayed, and I got to run down there and join them real fast before I had to come up here to preach. They were just praying for this church, because power's in the prayer. But they're just eager to serve, finding a way to do it. It was an incredible blessing, which is open to any one of you who want to come and pray for our church and invite God's Spirit to move. I received an email yesterday from a gal in our church who's a foster parent. And she has a dream to do a presentation here at Northside about foster parenting and adoption. We've got numerous families in our church that are foster parenting, that are adopting children, who've been through that process, that can help other families in the church do that as well, to help care for orphans, whether it's in our community or in the world. She's eager to serve in that way. And I love that. I get excited about that. I'm like, yes, let's do that. Let's do it. People who are eager to find ways, people who are eager to serve always find ways to serve. People who are eager to serve always find ways to serve. And people who are not eager to serve, somehow, well, it's just really hard to find just that right ministry, just that right fit, plug in some way, and That's not going to work. Man, they're not eager to serve, so they're just not going to serve. It's not going to happen. But if people are eager to serve, they find ways to serve. It comes readily to them. Eagerness is a sign of health. It's eagerness is a sign of right attitudes. By the look of some people, you would think they didn't hear Peter correctly. Peter said, be eager, be eager. And for some reason, they thought he said, be Eeyore, be Eeyore. They just go around the church like this stuffed donkey, pessimistic, gloomy and depressed, can't do anything right, won't make a difference. I did my time back in the day. Don't feel like it today. You know that phrase, I did my time? Have you ever heard that before? Someone say that? I did my time. This isn't a prison. This is not a prison. I did my time. It's not a prison. And when it comes to serving in the church, it's not something that we regret. You're not completing your obligation to incarceration. That's not what's happening when we serve. When it comes to serving in the church, I think Peter has in mind this. This is what he has in mind, right? Eager Tigger. That's what he has in mind right there. Let's go, eager Tigger. To be an eager like Tigger, you need a bigger motive, a bigger reason for doing what you do than obligation or duty. I mean, on Saturday night, are you sometimes sitting at home or going to bed and you start getting pumped because you know an opportunity you have on Sunday morning to serve people? You start getting pumped because you start thinking about those kids in that children's class that you get to invest in, some of them whose parents have not said I love you in a month. Some of them who aren't taught about God the entire week. There's no conversations. There's no reading of Scripture. There's no prayer. No one's tucking them in bed at night, giving them a blessing and praying a prayer over them. But there you are as a small group leader. And they're sitting right in front of you. And they've just worshiped God. And they just heard a story from His Word. And here they are sitting with you. And you get to call them by name. And you get to pray over them. And you get to say, you lost a tooth this week, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
You get to love on them and care for them. You start thinking about that, getting pumped, that you have an opportunity to show them Jesus. You start thinking about that group that you're going to pray with and crave at the end of the service when they go to the chalkboards and they just start writing prayers on that board, and you're going to go pray with those kids for their week. You start thinking about how you're shaking hands with people as they come in that door. And you're greeting them and you're making them feel like this place is home. And somebody walks through that door who's been out of church for years. And they left church because they were wounded and they were hurt and they were mistreated. That's what happens when people want to live with truth, but they don't want to live with grace. You stop looking like Jesus when it happens. And somehow, maybe they got invited by a friend. Maybe they just came to the end of their rope and they just walked in those doors not knowing what else to do. And there you were, shaking their hand and welcoming them. And all of a sudden, all those walls, all those fears started melting away. And they started finding a grace-filled community where we want you here. We're glad you're here. All of a sudden, you start thinking about how God can use you to advance the kingdom and build up the church. And all those people's misconceptions about the church, or perhaps they were truthful beliefs in their location, but they're not going to be here. You help break those down so that their heart can be open to Jesus. That won't be your attitude if you're doing it out of obligation or duty. That won't be your attitude if you're doing it for personal gain. Peter says that you should do it eagerly, not for dishonest gain. The word dishonest gain, NIV 84 will say greedy for money. That was what he's talking about, is those elders that were paid to do the ministry. He's talking to me. He's talking to the teaching and preaching pastors. They were the teaching elders in the church. It was a paid position. The Bible instructs that teaching pastors should be paid for their work so they can devote themselves to the ministry. 1 Corinthians 9:14 says that. 1 Timothy 5:17 through 18 says that. That the teacher, the preacher, they should be paid for the work. But if money is the motive, you won't have a shepherd. What you'll have is a hireling. And the Bible talks about the difference between the two. There's a difference between a shepherd and a hireling. A hireling only works because he's paid for it. But a shepherd works because he loves the sheep. And his heart is devoted to them. And so they serve not to advance their career, not to network with people, not to gain personality or prestige or popularity. You serve because you're eager to advance God's kingdom, and Jesus is your master. You serve because your work is for the Lord. It's the only thing that will last for all of eternity. And if you do not have a godly why for doing what you do, you will come to do it with ulterior motives, or you'll just stop serving altogether. And so in verse 3, the text says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. In other words, our service is not for power or control. It's not about being on the top of the pyramid. It's not about making all the decisions. Serving is about people. And you choose to serve because you want people to know Jesus. In other words, you keep your passion for the Lord by choosing to serve selflessly, not for power. Jesus talked about that with his disciples. Don't lord it over like the Gentiles do. That's the style of leadership they employ, not you. You humble yourself like a servant. You serve selflessly, not for power. Your reward is not in this world. Your reward is not the people you serve. It's in Jesus. You serve him. He's your reward. He's the one who sees your service when no one else does. He's the one applauding you. He's the one saying, great job, keep going. Don't take your foot off the gas. Serve them well because you're serving me. So how on earth do you stay passionate about serving when serving selflessly can be exhausting? How do you do this? How do you do this when serving wears on you? How do you do this when your role is to prepare coffee for hundreds of people in the hospitality ministry early on Sunday mornings? Why would you keep doing that? Why would you prepare communion trays for people who never say thank you? In fact, they don't even know who did it. I don't even know who did it today, but somebody did all that. What keeps you going? How do you do that week in and week out? You serve selflessly because you're serving the Lord. How do you do that when you never hear the words thank you, or you never even see the fruit of your ministry? How do you do that? Well, Peter reminds us how and why we would do that. It's because when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That's why. We have an example to follow in Jesus, but not only that, when he appears, we receive a crown of glory. And it will never fade away. Though your passion or your enthusiasm at times may wane, and you come to God and you repent and you remember the things that you did at first and you return to those things, though that may fade, I'm telling you right now, the crown of glory will never fade away when you receive that. You know, one of the things I was thinking about this week is that if we're totally honest, sometimes our enthusiasm can kind of go away. You know it's going away when you think, is it my rotation this month? Yeah, I'm on rotation. Maybe we shouldn't think of service as something we do on rotation. Maybe it's something we just do because we're servants. When that's our attitude, we must repent. We must remember who we serve. We must return to what we once did, because the cost of not serving in ministry is huge. You may be the only person in someone's life helping them to know and follow Jesus. And if you're not serving, then you're not carrying out the mission that God has for us. If you've been around Northside for very long, you've seen people baptizing people, and a lot of times those people are not staff people. They are sometimes, but a lot of times they're not. You see moms, and you see dads, and you see peers, friends, family that will baptize someone into Jesus. The scriptures don't say that it has to be a paid staff person, official staff person that baptizes people. The Bible never says that. But the reason you see that is because we believe that every member is a minister. That is what the Bible calls us to, is a kingdom of priests who serve our God. We are ministers. And so as we do ministry, there are times we also get to experience the joy of the fruit of ministry. This happened recently. I think of Chris Pruitt and Robin Jones, who started leading a life group together. In fact, this summer, Robin Jones also went to camp. And they went to camp with a girl by the name of Madeline Summers. They had been a consistent presence in her life for a year in life group. And before she came to know the Lord, Robin was at camp with Madeline when Madeline made that decision to follow Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to trust him with her life. They've been having overnighters with those girls and life groups, different things. But God was simply using them as servants. And they had this special privilege, Chris and Robin, to baptize Madeline. Just because they opened up their hearts to serve. We see this all the time. And those are the signs of a healthy church when people serve. And let me give you the ultimate reason for why we serve. As I do this, I'd like for our servers to be dismissed for our time of communion. Our ultimate example of service is Jesus. Jesus is our example, who willingly, eagerly, and selflessly served. Peter calls him the chief shepherd because he's over all the other shepherds. He's the head of the church. He's the one we ultimately serve. And we must never forget that. We serve him because he first served us. He loved us. He saved us. When Jesus prayed in the garden, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done, Father. Your will be done." He willingly went to the cross. He was a perfect sacrifice for our sins. We have a perfect example to follow in Jesus. And if you're a Christian and you're not serving the Lord right now, it's time to repent and commit. And if you're a Christian and you're not serving enthusiastically or eagerly or willingly or selflessly, then it's time to repent and commit. And if you're not a Christian, I want you to know that God first served you. Jesus went to the cross to take the punishment for your sin. He rose from the dead to prove his power over death and Satan. And he's inviting you into a life of significance and purpose when you choose to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And what communion is that time when those who have put their trust in Jesus and their faith in Jesus, it's when they remember what he did for them. They remember his selfless act when he eagerly embraced the cross so he could save us from our sins. We remember that. And we hold on to that. And so Philippians 3:3 says, "It is we who serve God by his Spirit who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." You know why we serve Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh? Because only he can save. I'm powerless to save. And we're just going to reflect on that and remember that during our time of communion. So let's stand together. Let's sing as we reflect on this thought.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.